The Christian in Complete Armor by William Grinnell. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Chapter 22. Four rules whereby we may know whether we exercise faith in prayer. But how may I know when I thus exercise faith in prayer? First, by the serenity and composure of thy spirit after prayer. Faith may live in a storm, but it will not suffer a storm to live in it. As faith rises, so the blustering wind of discontent and troublesome thoughts go down. In the same proportion that there is faith in the heart, there is peace also. They are joined together. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. In returning shall ye be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Therefore called peace in believing. Romans 15, 13. Even where it is weakest, it will not be the unquietness of the heart passed without a chiding. Psalms 42, verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. What soul, no sooner off thy knees, but clamorous, hast not thou made thy moan to a God, able to help thee, and will not that ease thee? Faith relieves the soul in prayer of that which oppresses it, whereas the unbelieving soul still carries about it the cause of its trouble, because it hath not strength to cast forth its sorrows and roll its cares upon God in the duty. Dost thou carry away the same burden on thy back from prayer which thou didst bring to it? Surely thou didst want faith to lift it off thy shoulder. Hath faith been there active and lively, it would have bestowed this and brought thee away with a light heart, as Hannah, who rose from praying to eat, and her countenance was no more sad, and as Christ, who kneeled down with a sorrowful a heart as ever any had, but comes off with a holy courage to go and meet his approaching death and his bloody enemies now on their way to attack him. Arise, saith he to his disciples, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Matthew 26, verse 46. May it not put us to the blush to think that we should come less satisfied from God's presence than sometimes from a sorry man. If you were poor and had a rich friend that binds you, send your children to him and he will provide for them. Would not this ease your mind of all your cares and distracting thoughts concerning their maintenance? And doth not God promise more than this when he bids us, be careful for nothing, but let your request be made known to God with thanksgiving? Secondly, dost thou continue praying even when God continues to deny? An unbelieving heart will be sure to jade in a long journey. Faith will throw in the net of prayer again and again as long as God commands and the promise encourages us. The greyhound hunts by sight. When he cannot see the game, he gives over running, but the true hound hunts by scent. He goes over hedges and ditch, though he sees not the hare he pursues all the day long. An unbelieving heart, maybe, is drawn out upon some visible probabilities and sensible hopes of a mercy coming to pray. But when these are out of sight, his heart fails him, but faith keeps the scent of the promise and gives not over the chase. Thirdly, dost thou stint God, or canst thou trust him to answer thy prayer in his own way without thy prescription? When we deal with a man whose ability or faithfulness we have in doubt, then we labor to make sure of him by tying him up to our terms. But if we stand assured of their power and truth, we leave them to themselves. Thus the patient sends for the physician, desires his help, but leaves him to write his own bill. The merchant sends over his goods to his factor, relies on him to make such returns as his wisdom tells him will come to the best market. Thus the believing soul, when he hath opened his heart to God in prayer, resigns himself to the goodness, wisdom, and faithfulness of God to return an answer. Remember me, O God, sayest Nehemiah. Concerning this also, and spare me according to the greatness of thy mercy. Chapter 13, verse 22. See here, this good man makes bold to be God's remembrancer, but dares not be his counselor or prescriber. He remits the shaping of the answer to the greatness of his mercy. Hence it follows that whatever way God cometh in, the believing soul bids him welcome. Doth he pray for health in midst of that? Yet he blesses God for support under sickness. Doth he pray for his children, and they notwithstanding prove a cross? Yet he finds an answer another way, and satisfies himself with it. After many a prayer that David had put up, no doubt, for his family, we find him entertaining an answer to those prayers with a composed spirit, 2 Samuel 23, verse 5. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant. And this, he tells us, is all he desire. Indeed, a believer cannot miss his desire. Psalms 145, verse 19. He will fulfill the desires of them that fear him, because they disown those desires which clash with God's will. Who can pray more fervently for their children than Job did for his? He was with God for them every day. But after all his religious care of them, he meets with heavy tidings and hears that they were made a sacrifice by death, for whom he had offered up so many sacrifices to God. Yet doth he not foolishly charge God, or say it was in vain that he prayed? No, that only was not lost. The savor whereof was poured into his own soul, from the posture of which he might read a gracious answer in the supporting grace that enabled him to love and bless God over the grave of his slain children. Fourthly, by the soul's comporting itself towards the means used for obtaining the mercy prayed for. First, if thou prayest in faith, it will send thee to use other means besides prayer. Mark, while the apostle joins with them. Romans 12:11-12. Not slothful in business, fervent in servant, serving the Lord, continuing instant in prayer. As faith uses her wings of prayer to fly to heaven, so she uses her feet of duty and obediency, with which she walks and bestirs herself on earth. Secondly, faith will make thee to be choice of the means thou usest for the obtaining that thou bespeaketh of God in prayer. Faith is a working grace, but it will be set on work by none but God. Am I in God's way, saith faith? Is this the means he hath appointed? If it be not, away he turns from it, disdaining to work with any of the devil's tools. God can answer my prayer, saith the believer, without the help of my sin. If riches be good for me, I need not be at the cost to purchase them with a lie or a cheat. If health be a mercy, he can send me it, though I advise not with the devil's doctors. If joy and comfort, there is no need to take down the devil's music. If times be evil, he can hide me without running under the skirt of this grave man by base flattery and dissimulation. When Ezra had committed himself and his company to God, now under his march toward Jerusalem, by a solemn day of fasting and prayer, and had made a holy boast of his God, what he would do for them that seek him, he thought it both unbeseeming his professed faith and also dishonoring to his God, whom he had so magnified in the hearing of the Persian king, to beg any armed troops for a convoy to them in their way, lest their faith should be brought into suspicion for an empty bravetto and groundless confidence. Chapter 8, verse 22. I was ashamed to require the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. Thirdly, if thy faith be exercised in prayer, it will make thee not only choice of the means thou usest, but careful in using the means that God chooses for thee. Thou wilt be afraid lest it should stand in God's light by stealing thy confidence from him to trust in it. Faith will teach thee to use means as God's ordinancy, but rely on God to bless it. While faith's hands is on the plow, her eye is in heaven, the influences of heaven, not the tillage of the husbandman, make it a fruitful year. Sometimes the physician appoints a powder to be taken in wine or beer. Now, it is not the beer or wine that does the cure, but the powder, which they are only used to convey and carry into the stomach. Thus, mercy is handed over to us by the blessing of God in the use of means. Yet think not the means to do it, but the blessing of God mingled with it and infused into it. Lastly, if thou actest faith in prayer, as thou wilt be careful to improve means when God provides them, so thou wilt not suspend thy faith when God denies them. The believing soul dares not trust in to the means when he hath them, therefore he dares not distrust God when he wants them. Faith knows, though God used means, yet he needs none. The sun and the showers are the means he uses for the growth of the grass and herbs, yet he made these to grow out of the earth. Genesis 1:11. Before there was a sun or rain, plowing and sowing is the ordinary means whereby man is provided with bread. But he fed Israel with bread without their pains and husbandry. Ships are the means to wharf us over the seas, but God carried Israel through the Red Sea without ship or boat. Many, maybe times are hard, and thou art poor, thy expenses great, and thy comings in little. With the widow thou art making thy last cake of the little meal that is left. To reason and sense, thou must either beg, steal, or die. Canst thou now, upon praying to thy God, wait upon his promises to which tell thee, verily thou shalt be fed, Psalms 37:3, and on his providency, which records his care of the sparrows on purpose to assure us he will much more provide for his children? Or, at least, dost thou chide thy heart for its distrustful fears after praying, charging it to hope in God, to whom thou hast made thy moan? Truly, if thy heart hath not some hold on God after duty, in this thy strait, either thou hast no faith, or if thou hast faith, thou dost not act it in that prayer. True faith will either expel these dejections of heart, or at least protest against them. End of chapter 22.